540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The Environmental Protection Agency is now overseeing waste removal operations in East Palestine, Ohio, nearly a month after an overloaded train derailed and spilled tons of toxic chemicals. Regional EPA Administrator Linda Shore.
We have identified EPA-certified facilities that will be able to accept at least some of these wastes, meaning that the railroad will be able to restart shipments tomorrow.
The state says truckloads of waste have already been delivered to licensed disposal facilities in Michigan and Texas. The U.S. is now watching China and warning it not to help Russia in Ukraine.
CIA Director William Burns tells CBS's Face the Nation it's an open question as to whether China will provide lethal aid to help Russia.
We're confident that the Chinese leadership is considering the provision of lethal equipment.
On ABC, Texas Republican Representative Michael McCaul said he supports increased U.S. military aid for Ukraine.
I know the administration says as long as it takes. I think with the right weapons, it shouldn't take so long.
McCaul also said it is unfortunate that the Biden administration has been holding off on sending F-16 fighter jets. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Hundreds of thousands of people still don't have power following a major ice storm in Michigan. WWJ's Greg Bowman is there.
230,000 homes and businesses in Metro Detroit were still in the dark, many for the third day in a row. A DTE spokesperson tells WWJ some homeowners won't see their lights back on till Tuesday. Nearly 4,000 crews are working on restoration efforts right now.
More heavy snow is expected in the Midwest tomorrow. Severe thunderstorms are threatening the South. Victims' relatives and survivors remembered the deadly bombing at the World Trade Center in New York back in 1993 today that seemingly foreshadowed 9/11. New York Senator Chuck Schumer.
Just like the memory of the six people who were tragically killed 30 years ago, the unique spirit of New York lives on, stronger than ever.
That explosion happened in an underground parking garage, killing those six people. More than 1,000 were hurt. More than 6 months after her death, Australian singer and actress Olivia Newton-John has been laid to rest in Melbourne. Her daughter, Chloe.
She was my safe space, my guide, my biggest fan, and the earth beneath my feet. I know she's here, standing beside me and within me.
Newton-John died at 73 years old after a long battle with breast cancer. She was best known for her roles in Grease and Xanadu. This is CBS News.
Find tools for the job site or your own backyard at over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Whoever fired the gun that killed a 12-year-old boy at a teenager's birthday party in West Allis Saturday night is still out there somewhere. Another child was sent to the hospital. There were about 60 people in the room at the time. Security video and social media show a chaotic scene. $10 million is the record for spending on a Wisconsin Supreme Court race so far. This spring's candidates and outside groups have spent more than $7.3 million. Janet Protasiewicz is getting help from Democrats who say much is at stake.
We really can leave no stone unturned because the stakes for the freedom to control your own body, the freedom to live in a democracy, are so vast.
That's Ben Wickler. He's chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He was on Up Front yesterday. In sports, the Badgers tournament hopes are dimmer after yesterday's overtime loss to Michigan. The Bucks are at Brooklyn tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season, From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season, and of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My. It's amazing. Paul Ryan, the former Speaker of the House, you know, the first 2 years of Donald Trump's time in as the president of the United States, he and Paul Ryan were inseparable. And something happened, you know, and, you know, I kind of know what it was, and I'm sure others know what it was. You know, Paul Ryan was the kind of guy who was, without question, one of the most admired Republican conservatives in the nation by conservatives prior to Donald Trump becoming president of the United States. Paul Ryan, even though, you know, very bright guy who clearly followed a plan of conservatism that had been pretty successful. And that's kind of, you know, who he was and who he is. And so he sacrificed all of that because Donald Trump became the president of the United States, even though I don't think Paul Ryan ever would have believed that he could defeat Jeb Bush. And Paul Ryan had pretty much followed that conservative mantra that had been around for decades. And then Donald Trump came into vogue. And for those 2 years, Paul Ryan basically bit his tongue and was willing to fall on the sword for the Republican Party and supported Donald Trump, even in Donald Trump's folly. Well, Paul Ryan realized that, you know, giving yourself up for a lunatic wasn't the smartest move he ever made in his career. And one of the reasons why Paul Ryan left was because of Donald Trump and what Donald Trump represented for the Republican Party. So Paul Ryan has clearly, I mean, to say that if Donald Trump becomes the president of the United States, I mean, the nominee for the Republican Party, I'm not going to support him. That's not going to happen. Clearly is a, you know, kind of an unheard of thing. And it just goes to show that there's something deeper behind what has happened between Donald Trump and Paul Ryan. Well, we do know that Donald Trump did what he always does when there's somebody who doesn't agree with him, and he really started belittling Paul Ryan in the last 2 years of his presidency. And Paul Ryan basically walked away. His political career, he had enough. His excuse was that he wanted to go back and spend time with his family. But I don't think that would have ever occurred if Donald Trump hadn't been attacking Paul Ryan the way he had attacked him. I think there's something to be said by a man of a Paul Ryan stature to say that if this man becomes the nominee, I'm not supporting him. And to me, that's kind of an amazing thing. You don't ever expect to see that or hear that from candidates. Not candidates, because he's no longer there, but men of the stature of Paul Ryan, the former speaker. Now, he's not the only one. There clearly are going to be some things that are going on that are going to create some animosity, because Paul Ryan, I think, would probably and could probably come back into politics, but he's certainly not going to do it as long as Donald Trump is on the horizon. Well, let's do this. It's Monday. That means Mondays with my co-host, none other than Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, the late Sandy Williams.
No.
It was raining like mad. Holy cow, the traffic.
You know, you can't be the late Sandy Williams and you're still speaking.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I got that wrong.
Yeah, you were a little bit tardy, but you're not the late Sandy Williams.
Okay, yeah, okay, we'll go with that. Blue slip.
Yeah, how you doing?
Detention. I'm doing all right. Doing fine.
Let me ask you, Sandy, Paul Ryan and what he said, that rift is really deep. That Paul Ryan doesn't appear to be the kind of guy that would ever hold grudges, but Donald Trump really got under his skin, didn't he?
Well, and I suspect to some extent he has a bit of a guilt complex about it. He spent 2 years
that he supported him,
carrying water for right. him and making being an apologist for him until it just got beyond the ken for him and he had to back off. You know, I never agreed with Paul Ryan's politics particularly, but I do think he's a principled guy.
And
I think he's displayed the fact that he's a principled guy, and God willing, if the politics gets back to a norm and we get rid of Trumpism and get back to civilized politics, we'll see people like Paul Ryan on the other side of the aisle being leaders. So here, the guy was the vice presidential candidate. I mean, he had a lot of wind in his sails in terms of political momentum, and all of it destroyed by the Trump movement and the Republican Party because he wasn't willing to basically derange. You know, he kind of stuck to his guns in terms of the principles he stood for. And the fact is that the Trump version of Republican politics is kind of unprincipled. I mean, it runs the whole gamut of policies, not any of which seem to toe the line for what you would call traditional conservatism. It's really much more about a cult of personality And I think, to his credit, he broke away from that.
You know, and Paul Ryan is still young enough that he still has a bright political future ahead of him if that's what he chooses to do, right?
Yeah, although he's, you know, he definitely has gone to the cloakroom and has been doing other things. And whether he has the stomach for getting back involved in politics or not, you know, we'll find out. He's not really behaving like someone who's running for office. He's behaving more like the retired statesman who's trying to steer the Republican Party back to its moorings.
Yeah, I mean, but to say, he clearly stated that in his own home state, that with the Republican convention coming,
yeah,
you would think that he would be playing a major role in that, and because of who he is, and I'm sure they'd offer him a place in that, but if Trump is anywhere around, he doesn't want to be around it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why I said, to his credit, I think he recognizes the danger to the sort of the general political system, the American political system, our democracy, for the trend and the trend in politics that Trump represents, and the cult of the personality, which really is a backwards movement in terms of American public policy.
You know, Sandy, the fact that there are people who want to now separate themselves from Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, who helped make him, and others, but even in spite of that, Sandy, he's still on the horizon, right? I mean, he has to be reckoned with.
Well, when you know, the fact is, it was a cult of the personality, and to the extent that people still embrace that personality, that charisma, that apparent disdain, you know, one thing Trump did represent very clearly, and his brand very clearly represents, a disdain for traditional establishment. And there's a lot of people out there who are upset about things enough without really necessarily even doing the self-diagnosis to figure out what they're upset about, that are feeling that disdain for traditional establishment. And, you know, how funny it is that a billionaire would be the figurehead for an anti-establishment movement, but he is.
I was looking at some statistics, and I thought that they were saying that that Ron DeSantis head-to-head was so far ahead of Donald Trump, but some of the stats that I've been reading, Trump is even closing that gap.
Yeah, the fact is, when you look at head-to-head races, you know, it doesn't work out that well for DeSantis. I mean, DeSantis definitely has a head of steam. He does look like he's being considered as an option by a lot of people to Trump. But the fact is that Donald Trump, in a head-to-head with Biden, most recently in a poll, was going to beat Biden. And and a head-to-head with DeSantis doesn't turn out that well either for DeSantis. So you're right, we're talking about it as if he's got this huge head of steam and he's got it in his bag, but it's not at all altogether.
Well, clear. And be honest with you, the people who are saying he's got that head of steam are Republicans.
Man, most of them are backing DeSantis.
Right. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Mondays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Highs level off around 40. Winds out of the east, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 31. High temperatures reach up to 42. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Slow dancing early.
I thought about, I don't know why it popped into my head, man, but that's one of my
eighth grade
Unchained memories. It's one of my favorite tunes of all time. The Righteous Brothers.
Unchained Melody?
Unchained Melody. Yeah. What did I say? Unchained
Memories. Unchained Memories is what got you back to Unchained Melody.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. So this is what happens when the weather is like this. This is how the sun's not shining.
It's definitely not shining today. Yeah. Holy cow.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That's Mondays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, what's going on, man?
Guys, first, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, guys, I got to push back on this whole Paul Ryan fantasy. This is the guy whose policies wanted to get rid of Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid. After he himself had benefited from Social Security when his father passed away. Also, this is a guy that's now a lobbyist. So he's out lobbying and making a ton of money off of his position that he had in Congress. So I don't have any type of feelings about
Tom,
him.
I hope I didn't sound like I had a love affair with Paul Ryan. I was just saying
it was sounding a little bit like better.
Well, come on, man. Yeah. I'm just talking about.
He's just a civilized guy. I mean, you know, I think it's appropriate if someone has a policy difference.
He's a cleaned up guy.
Okay.
I say he's a cleaned up guy, Sandy, but he's not a civilized guy. Come on, we can't say that when he's wanting to cut the social safety net.
Well, that has to do with a distinct policy disagreement we have. And, you know, there might be people who have a policy view of that. I have a progressive policy view that we ought to expand Medicare for all. There are those who would say that that's a deranged view. They're on the right. So, I mean, I think there is room in this country for straight ahead policy disagreements. And some people,
I do too, but I just don't want a wolf in sheep clothing either.
I'm not talking about backing this guy or anything like it. I'm just saying it would be good. It would be good if politics got back to straightforward policy disputes.
Oh, and I agree with you on that.
I think people
in the general public, you really can get to that point. I just had some conservative people I was speaking to the other day, and you know, we talked about money and politics, and they both agreed that, you know, yeah, we need to get money out of politics completely. I'm like, let's find that common ground. Let's stop where the politicians, whether it's the left, the right, whether it's the unions, whether whoever it is, should be controlling the money.
And Tom, I do think that is the absolute appropriate starting point position for us to achieve unity, because without getting money out of politics, I don't think we'll ever be able to fundamentally discuss all kinds of public policies, including our international affairs policies, which are clearly heavily affected by the size of the industrial, the military-industrial complex, which has a huge, both direct and indirect, policy impact through its money.
So
100%. And guys, I was thinking about this weekend. I want to know what you think. I want to know your opinion. But I wrote this down, so I put it interesting, because everything the Republicans do in their policies, we end up needing more government, because they don't fund climate change. They don't fund infrastructure. They don't fund, these pandemics, and everything falls apart, and then you need more government. When you actually follow the FDR policies and the Eisenhower policies, you actually end up needing less government. The other day when I was driving down the road and it was raining like crazy here in California, which you probably will start up again, I'm thinking to myself, because they don't have any infrastructure that's going on federally, that's the reason why we need more government, because then the people have no one to turn to if they're all washed out. So another reason to vote for the Democratic Party or to people that are in the FDR mindset is because you really need less government. I wanted to know what you guys thought about that idea.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Well, less government, but what we do need is more effective government. And I'm afraid that what the Republicans have done what the conservative impulse has done is strangle government of money, which has rendered government unable to deliver its services effectively, which is then like a self-fulfilling prophecy for the people who say that government's no good and we ought to strangle it of money, except those are the very people who might become victims of the, for instance, the FEMA failure in a disaster to be able to respond effectively to the disaster. So, FEMA's maybe the most startling one, because we only need it when we need it, but when we need it very badly, and we need it to be effective. And FEMA has kind of over and over again, our disaster responses in the United States have failed fairly miserably in the recent periods. It isn't a function of who's in the, even though we'd like to blame whoever it is that's president, the ability of FEMA to react is the result of probably decades of training, decades of funding, decades of building up the funding necessary to have a reserve fund to supply it.
All right. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. As Mondays with Sandy Williams, we'll be right back. What's wrong with you?
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Powers out to 14,000 customers in Norman, Oklahoma, after a severe storm spawned a record-breaking tornado outbreak. CBS's Omar Villafranca is there.
The dangerous system also slammed Kansas. At least two tornadoes were confirmed in the state. And it brought golf ball-sized hail to Texas and spun up dust storms in the panhandle, turning the sky yellow.
Pandemic-era food benefits expire this week for about 30 million Americans. Ellen Volinger with the Food Research Research and Action Center.
Congress made a decision in December to end those boosts prematurely.
It'll mean about $90 less a month for SNAP recipients. The death toll up to 62 after a migrant boat came apart off southern Italy. CBS's Vicky Barker.
Rescuers confirm three more bodies were pulled out of the icy waters this morning. Dozens of migrants remain missing.
The boat had set out from Turkey. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Now that Dan Kelly is one step closer to getting back on the state Supreme Court, he's going to get a boost from a phony referendum that'll also be on the April ballot, thanks to legislative Republicans. Voters will be asked, should able-bodied, childless adults be required to look for work before getting any welfare benefits? But that's already in state law. They know that. But they also know the ballot question provides a convenient excuse for distractions, political ads, and angry radio hosts talking about welfare cheats. Because they'd rather not talk about how Kelly on the court would mean the 1849 abortion ban stays in place and political maps can stay rigged. If more voters knew about that, they'd be less likely to support Kelly. So bring on the latest load of manufactured anger about an issue that isn't real. Catch Up North News Radio weekday mornings 6 to 8.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Ebony and Ivory. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That's Mondays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to CJ. CJ.
Yes, sir, Earl. Thank you for taking my call, you and Sandy. Once again, we're finding out we're more prosperous and more safe underneath the Republican administration.
So wait a minute. You just throw that out there, and somehow we're supposed to all agree with something that is not true.
Not true, huh, Earl? Well, we're almost on the verge of a nuclear war. We got less money in our pocket. We found out what teachers are actually not teaching and preaching. My. So
CJ, we're not talking about teachers. We're not talking about all this other foolishness that you're talking about. We are talking about the fact that there are Republicans who disagree with what is taking place in Ukraine and who think that the United States should not be involved in this. There are other Republicans who agree that the United States should. You talk as if there is a total agreement with Republicans on whether or not we should be in Ukraine or not. That's not the case. And so it's not a matter of what the Democrats did and what the Republicans agree to, because there are as many Republicans who don't want us even engaged in what's going on in Ukraine as there are who do. So whatever it is you are saying as if they're speaking in one voice is untrue.
Well, the mere fact that they want to keep an eye on the corruption that has been well known in Ukraine and watch the purse strings, I agree with that. But, you know, you were speaking of Paul Ryan before. That idiot believed that Russian.
Hey, did you think Paul Ryan? Let me ask you something. I bet you didn't think Paul Ryan was an idiot before Donald Trump came on the scene, because Paul Ryan was one of the most respected of the Republicans in leadership. That's just a fact.
Paul Ryan believed that crap that pencil neck preached, $25 million, 2.5-year lie that we come to find out was actually the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democrats that paid for that dossier crap. So, Earl, come too, because now we find out social media had the FBI telling them to cover up the story. It's not about Hunter, it's about the big guy, as we walk into a World War III with China, because the big guy is being blackmailed. So you guys keep pulling the wool over your eyes.
Well, let me just, CJ, just to connect the dots. Let's just assume that you say that Biden is in the pocket of China. And so if he's in the pocket of China, why would he be acting so belligerently towards China that we're marching in the direction of World War III with China? Those dots, I mean, to me, you've just described a totally mutually contradictory set of theories that I don't get. You know, I'm not going to argue with you at this point. I'm not going to agree with you either about the assumption you have about whether Hunter Biden's business dealings have put Joe Biden into the pocket of China. But if he's in the pocket of China, he'd be cozying up to them, wouldn't he, instead of being belligerent towards them?
Belligerent towards them. They're going to be giving them weapons to Russia pretty soon. And this guy...
Wait a minute. If China gives weapons to Russia, let's pursue that one, CJ. Let's say that they do sell weapons to Russia. What should the United States be doing in reaction to that? Should we should be economically sanctioning China, because that's what they're talking about doing if they do that? Or should we be what should the action be that the United States would take to keep China from doing that?
Sandy, do you know the Biden family has made over 100?
Let's take all that as a given. I'm just trying to connect the dots of what comes out of your mouth. What is it that we should that the United States should be doing that they aren't suggesting they're going to do in the circumstance in which China sells weapons to Russia? I'm just talking about policy.
You based that question on the fact that he's been, you know. You don't care if he's the big guy. You don't care.
I do care if there's unlawful conduct that's established through these investigations. I do care about that. But I'm just saying that what you're saying, you know, you want to connect a whole bunch of dots conspiratorially to suggest that whatever it is that your theory is about what's gone on and whether it's gone on or not, the jury's out in my mind. But you're trying to connect that dot to some foreign affairs conduct that is or is not occurring, and I'm just trying to focus on that. What should the United States be doing? I don't understand why you don't want to talk about actual policy and all you want to talk about is theories of political behavior And you want to talk about the political dynamics and the political theater instead of policy. And what we're trying to focus on in this show is actual policy and not political theater.
Right. Well, policy-wise, peace through strength, trust but verified.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much for the call. Just cliches. Dan from Racine. Hey, Dan, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Man, CJ, take a breath. I hate to say that, but holy cow. Yeah, and I'm going to say this. Paul Ryan is the reason that I became a Democrat. And this is way before Trump ever came on the scene. I owned my own business. I begged Paul Ryan to help me get it started to get through the state red tape because it was such a difficult process. It was a Democrat that helped me. State Representative Bob Wirch. And then when I called Paul Ryan again so that I could expand my business out of the state into another state, I was having to turn down million-dollar contracts because all that I got from Paul Ryan was, oh, state rights, we don't help you do that. Well, I'm sorry. There should be a standard across this country when it comes to owning and operating a business on who you can hire, whether they're convicted felons, whatever. And I apologize because I'm disabled. I stutter when I get upset and listening to CJ.
No, that's all right.
Got
me
going. When it comes to Ukraine, I didn't get to finish my point last week, and I apologize.
Go ahead.
You hung up on me.
Go ahead.
I actually agree with both of you. And I apologize to that woman that was Russian saying that Putin wasn't smart. I don't want her to think that I was meaning that in any way, shape, or form.
No, man, just...
I actually think he's probably the smartest guy around him right now, and the only reason that this hasn't gone nuclear. With that said, it is not worth anybody's blood. And I think that people also are forgetting the fact that the world has not recovered from COVID, our economy. The chip shortage, we haven't recovered from that. And then you add this on top of that and all these draconian sanctions that our president, who I voted for and I believed in, is hurting not only the Russian economy, but every economy. If Russia isn't strong in their economy and China is not strong in their economy, the United States is going to suffer more than anybody at the end of the day because we import a lot of stuff. Europe is going to suffer at the end of the day. And if anybody thinks come June and July that Europe in general is not going to be buying oil and natural gas and refined fuels from Russia, they are sorely mistaken because they have to take care of their own people first. We all need to look in the mirror and understand that we are all responsible for what is happening right now.
All right.
We really, truly
all
have
right,
to look
All right,
in the
Dan,
mirror.
Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to anything?
Well, I do, Dan. You know, thanks for the call. I know that my views on this are a distinct minority, and I thought all weekend I wanted to send out an apology to Sherm in Racine, who thought I was maybe condescending. I didn't certainly intend to be. And the intent on this show is to treat everyone with respect who calls in and to respect views, and I certainly respect Sherm's views. So I hope he's listening, and I mean it. But what is important, and Dan, I think you represent someone who's calling in. The people who think like Dan and I and maybe Earl do are, I think we are a minority, and I think it's because we all basically have avoided discussing or even thinking about our foreign affairs, and we take our instructions from our political leaders, and foreign affairs is created in the dark. So we decide, you know, who our enemies are. And 15 years ago, China was not our enemy, and now, dangerously, we are spending lots of time politically and analytically on TV, the news media, all sorts of venues are discussing China as if they are our enemy. And even though the administration has gone to pains to say, look, we are, China is not our enemy, and we are not trying to contain China, we're not entering into a phase of a Cold War with China, the rhetoric that they're using and the political visits to Taiwan and a lot of what we're doing is extremely aggressive sounding. It's sounding like, and even though we think we're talking about how we will react to Chinese aggression, what we're really doing is making the possibility of Chinese aggression much more likely. Because the Taiwan situation, I don't think there's been any indications, and there weren't any in like 2010, that China was on the eve of invading Taiwan. But ever since in 2019, the Taiwanese government began to talk about separatism, we've been for the last 10 or 15 years arming Taiwan to the teeth. We now have troops in Taiwan training them. We are acting as if we are expecting and are preparing for an invasion by China into Taiwan, and we're trying to give Taiwan the capacity to essentially declare its independence from China. Those words are important, declare its independence, because we know and we have recognized that Taiwan is a part of China. It's a distinct and maybe unique part of China that has been governed differently than mainland China for a whole number of years, but it is Chinese.
You know, Sandy, the fact that the American people are being led to believe that we should be going to war to protect Taiwan is just the fact that the American people don't know. And so they're being fed this information that China is this major threat to us and we need to be prepared. If they do something to Taiwan, we're ready to move on that. And many of the American people haven't thought this through at all. It's the fact that they're China, and now China is our enemy. They've been led to believe that these people are our enemy. Well, Sandy, I have to go back to not so long ago, and we're still trading partners. And the fact that this is being pushed and sold to the American people, that this has to occur, and that we are responsible for Taiwan, is the part that I'm going to continue to push back. We are not responsible for what happens to Taiwan. Right?
Right. I mean, come on. Right. And we aren't responsible. I mean, I think what we have to do is figure out what our international policy is. And right now, our international policy has become one of believing that we can dictate essentially what the forms of government are across the world for all sorts of places, because we have countries that we don't accept their form of government, and therefore we are hostile to them. That's our excuse for opposing China right now, is their form of government, which incidentally is far more moderate than it was 25 or 30 years ago.
Well, and you know, Sandy, we got to go to a break, but the inherent danger in this is China has seen a history of our nation militarily in some areas, and they don't trust us. And in some instances, I can understand why we're not being trusted. And that doesn't mean I'm anti-American. Listen, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. I mean, Sandy.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for scattered showers this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 40. Easterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 31. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 42. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, whether the American people or our listening audience, you know, I don't do radio for entertainment. I really don't. And I know you and I are on the same page. This is not about entertainment. It's about getting people to wake up and see what's going on in this country that we both love. And right now, this is a dangerous, dangerous conversation that is happening inside of our nation. But I think, Sandy, the conversation is being had not by the citizens. The citizenry is not on top of what is taking place.
Well, except our citizenry is, we're a very patriotic country. And so if we receive our instruction on what it is that we need to believe and express and support as a litmus for our patriotism, it's basically our foreign policy plays a big part of that. And so when our foreign policy is formulated, when we are sort of receive our instruction, whether it's direct or subliminal based on the conversation that's ongoing or the press releases from the White House or what have you, that China is our enemy, it becomes our patriotic duty to believe and to essentially beat our breast about and support the notion that China is our enemy. And the more we talk about that, of course, like I've said for months and years, is that the more we describe an enemy, the more they, in fact, are our enemy. And, you know, the Cold War was an ideological, at its roots, ideological fight about the spread of world communism and the fear of that. And our two main enemies during the Cold War were Communist China and Communist USSR. Well, Russia is not a communist country anymore. It's an autocratic form of parliamentary government. China is a hybrid form of communism that is really no more communist than Vietnam. Vietnam, you know, we went to war on the domino theory, I guess. We never really understood why we went to war in Vietnam. But now Vietnam is an ally. We are putting a consortium together to be a South Pacific a counterfoil to China, and one of the main members of that is Vietnam. So we're in bed with Vietnam. We're comfortable with that communist government, and we are apparently very uncomfortable with the Chinese government. China is a large and powerful economic entity, and large, powerful economic entities tend to have regional areas of influence that they want to exercise. We, the United States, have a long expressed our regional area of influence, going all the way back to the Monroe Doctrine, where we declared the whole Western Hemisphere to be an area of U.S. regional influence and power. And we have exercised it. And now our regional hegemony basically extends worldwide. We are willing to flex our muscle and to carry out military battles around the world, Afghanistan, Iraq, the Balkans, you name it, we'll go to war there. And we aren't going to war there to maintain the structural or political integrity or safety of the United States. We're going there based on our concept of a world order, which is different.
You know, Sandy, it in talking about the fact that the American people, patriots and patriotic, and so they're willing to go along. You know, we've got this isolation thing with Iran. And so the American people all jump on board. They agree the Iranians are bad people, so they're our enemies. We've got it with North Korea. North Koreans are bad people. The American people don't question anything about why we have this hate for Iran. But we're all on the same page. We agree that Iran is some brutal...
I think our Iranian leaders at some point have spoken with extreme hostility and saber rattling towards Israel, and I think that has played a big role in it. But incidentally, a fair number of other Arab countries have done similar kinds of sword rattling over the years, and the United States itself does sword rattling. It doesn't mean so.
So my thing has always been the sword rattling with Iran towards Israel. You know, Israel is the big boys. They can take care of themselves. And, you know, and they have been able to do that for a long time. But my point is that made many American people accept the fact that Iran is our enemy. And it's okay to dislike and hate Iranians because, as you stated, they're a threat to Israel. But, again, we are not giving it any independent thought ourselves of and looking into why. Same thing with now China. The American people need to look themselves and do a little research themselves before we just... And Iran and Korea are small nations. Keep forgetting, you want to make an enemy of a nation as big and powerful as China and think that they're going to fold under what the United States is maybe able to make Iran and somebody else fold under. That's not the case.
Well, for instance, you know, we are expressing lots of verbal hostility towards China, and China, in response to that, will express similar kinds of verbal hostility towards us. But everyone does understand that there's absolutely zero likelihood of a military incursion into the United States, and that there's no notion that anyone would have the stomach, the logistical capacity, the capability. It's totally beyond the ken of factual possibility that there would be an attack on the United States. But the United States clearly has a regional view of the area that it needs to have that will be countries that are not only friendly to the United States but supportive of it. Mexico sits at our south border. We have sort of a cherry relationship with Mexico. Actually, Mexico was very slow to impose sanctions on Russia. I'm not sure they have imposed sanctions yet on Russia in terms of limiting travel and a number of other things. And so what would we do if China opened its arms to, I mean, if Mexico opened its arms to China and said, you're welcome to come to our country, you're welcome to have a military base here, we'd like to buy our munitions from you, you have wonderful military equipment that you will sell to us at a cheaper cost. And so they began to embrace a very tight and cozy relationship with China. I'm confident that the United States would not sit on its hands and watch that happen. And yet China is a sovereign nation and is in many respects exactly the same circumstance as Ukraine.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Monday. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You don't know my garden.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.